Good to see you again tonight, and happy that you're here, and that we've made it back to be able to come and worship God once again in spirit and in truth. I must say, we had a good time with that potluck. Amen. Man, that was some good food. My stomach thanks you as well. We had a great time fellowshipping one with another, and that's beautiful that the saints of God can be able to gather together and have a great time like that. And I hear of a beautiful place called heaven, that if we make it there, it's going to be even better. So whatever you do, don't miss out on this beautiful place that is called heaven. We started our gospel meeting earlier today, and we've been talking about the pitfalls of evangelism. That was our first lesson. And then we went to Acts chapter 2, as we talked about things that they did not know, and now that you do know, what do you do? And then on tonight, we make our way to the book of Romans, if you will, Romans the 16th chapter. And on tonight, we'll be talking about the mystery of the church. The mystery of the church. We find ourselves in Romans chapter 16. We start by way of verse number 25. And we'll read all the way down to verse number 27. And if you have that, it reads as follows. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God, only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. The mystery of the church. You remember back in the 70s, they had a TV show called Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys Mystery? Remember all those shows long ago where there was always a guy who or a woman trying to discover or find out what is the mystery? And you get so excited when you're trying to uncover or unravel the mystery. Everything about it begins to get you moving and excited about that. On tonight, we are in search of the mystery of the church. We're going to use one book to help us with that. It's the book called the Bible. And we'll go throughout this book and we'll look for the mystery of the church. If you get an opportunity to look up the word mystery, it's defined this way. It is a secret, and it also means to shut the mouth. A secret or to shut the mouth. We are in Romans chapter 16, and notice what we find out first about this mystery. In verse number 25, it says this, Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. What's the first thing that we find out about this mystery? This mystery was kept secret. When? Since the world began. Since the world began, there was a mystery that was kept secret. Then the text says this to us in verse 26. But now is made manifest by the scriptures and of the prophets. But now it is made manifest, to be made known. This scripture, or this mystery rather, has been made manifest by the scriptures and the prophets. And notice what he says, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. What do we have so far? There's a mystery that was kept secret since the world began. What else do we have? This mystery is for all nations. This mystery was kept secret, and whatever this mystery is, it's pertaining to all nations for the obedience of faith. That's the first thing that we see in search of this mystery. We're leaving the book of Romans and we're going for our second clue. Our second clue about this mystery takes us to the book of 1 Corinthians. You're looking for 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, very briefly we look at verse number 7 and verse number 8. And notice what the text says. Paul says this, But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Paul says this, We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Then Paul backs it up by saying this in verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. When Paul says, which none of the princes of this world knew, that term is defined as a first or chief ruler or magistrate. There is something that the princes of this world did not know. And had they known this, notice verse number 8, for had they known this, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. There is something about this mystery that if they had got wind of this mystery and they knew what was involved with it, they never would have crucified Jesus. That's awesome to know that whatever is involved with this mystery, it is so awesome or powerful that they never would have crucified Jesus had they known about this mystery. That's another thing that we gather about this mystery of the church. What do we have so far? It was kept secret since the world began. What else do we have? This mystery is for all nations for the obedience of faith. What else do we have about this mystery? Had the chief rulers or magistrates, the princes of this world, known about this mystery, they would have never crucified Jesus Christ. That's the next thing we find out. You're leaving the book of Corinthians. And for our third clue, and in search of this mystery, we're going to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. And in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is still our writer. Paul is still talking about this mystery. And notice what Paul will do here, as he will be able to give to us certain clues about this mystery. Notice what we have in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Paul says this to us. Notice the setting in verse 7. And whom we have redemption through his blood. Who would that be? Christ Jesus. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Drop down to verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Paul says, listen, he has made known to us the mystery of his will. Then notice this. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. What is this mystery? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, Christ is going to do something. Notice what it says. And the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. What's involved with this mystery? He's going to gather together all things and place them into one. He's gathering together all things and he's going to place them into one. Whatever this mystery is all about, it was a secret. It was kept secret since the world began. It is for all nations for the obedience of faith. This mystery that we are investigating involves Christ taking things, he's gathering all together, and he's going to place them in one. Notice what the text says again in verse number 10. As he gathers together and puts them in one, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. We're still talking about this mystery. What is the mystery of the church all about? And that takes us again to Ephesians chapter 3. And in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul will really just explode this thing before us and allow us to see this mystery. Notice chapter 3 and verse number 1. For this call, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. Notice verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words. Paul says, listen, by way of revelation, Christ has made known unto me the mystery. Then he says this, as I wrote afore in few words. The things that I wrote previously about this mystery in few words, he has made known this mystery to me. In verse number 5, he says, verse 4, he says, whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You know, the Bible is a simple book, but sometimes we make it hard. How is it possible that I can understand the mystery of the church? How is it possible that I can take this book and understand the mystery? The answer lies in verse 4. whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery in Christ. You mean all I have to do, Paul, is read? Amen. All I have to do is read the book, and I'll understand the mystery. Yes, it is just that simple. All we have to do is read the Bible, and we will understand his knowledge in the mystery. So to understand the mystery, we simply have to open the book and read the book, and we're able to understand it. Notice verse 5. He says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And here comes the mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. What is this mystery all about, Paul? This mystery of the church that was kept secret since the world began, but is for all nations, for the obedience of faith, where God will take all and gather them together and place them into one. What is this mystery all about? Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. Now, if we knew what the word body meant, then we could understand this mystery. He's saying that the Gentiles are going to be fellow heirs and of the same body. What in the world does the word body mean? We go back to Ephesians chapter 1, and we start at verse number 20. And in verse number 20, the text reads as follows, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And in verse 22 and verse 23, and have put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What did he just say to us? In verse number 20, we're talking about Christ. In verse number 21 and following, God has done something for Christ. He's far above all principality and dominion and power. God has placed all things under his feet. God has given him to be the head of the church, which is his body. You mean the church is his body? Yes. And the body is the church? Yes. They're one and the same. When you're talking about the church, you're talking about the body of Christ. When you're talking about the body, you're talking about the church of Christ. It's impossible to talk about the church and not talk about the body. You're talking about one and the same. Whenever you talk about the body, you're talking about Christ. And whenever you talk about the church, you are talking about the body. If the church is the body, then what is he saying in verse number 6 of Ephesians chapter 3? Here's part of that mystery. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same church. You mean he's going to take Jew and Gentile and place them in one church? Yes, that's what he's going to do. Now Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 10 makes sense to us. Verse 10 says, that in the dispensation of fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. He's taking Jew and Gentile, and he's placing them in one body, one church. How will he do that? By the gospel. When we obey the gospel, we become members of that one body. When we obey the gospel, we become members of that one church. You mean that's the mystery? Yes. And had the Jews known that these Gentiles are going to be in the same church with us? If the Jews knew that, you think they would have crucified Jesus? No. They didn't know that he was going to take the Gentiles and place them in the same church with the Jews. The Jews at one point were God's chosen people, and they loved that. They loved being number one. And now you mean the group that you've put down all these years, the Gentiles, they're going to be fellow heirs of the same body, the same church? Yes. And had the princes of this world knew that, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. This was a mystery that was kept secret since the world began. It's for all nations, for the obedience of faith, that he's going to gather together all and place them in one. That he will take the Gentiles and they will become fellow heirs of the same body, which means church. They're going to be the members of the same church with the Jews. How can you become a member? Notice verse 6. And partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. When you obey the gospel, you become a member of that body, that church. You're still in Ephesians, looking at verse number 7 of chapter 3. Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the eternal working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Paul says, I'm preaching this word to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Paul says, I am preaching this word so that we will know about this mystery, that it's for everybody. It's for all nations. The Gentiles will become fellow heirs of the same body or the same church with the Jews. We all will be one. That's what the mystery is all about. Well, now, if we're going to be members of the same body, then how many bodies are there? If we're going to be members of that same body, how many bodies does the Bible say exist? You're going to Ephesians chapter 4. And if we haven't learned anything just yet, we've learned this, that if you want to talk about the mystery of the church, you better go to Ephesians. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, and notice verse number 4, the text says this, there is one body. Have we found out what body means yet? Yes, we have. Ephesians chapter 1, the church is his body. If he's saying there's one body, then there's only one church. There's one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's only one body. There's only one church. And the Gentiles, which are us. If you're not a Jew, you are a Gentile. And thank God that he loved us enough to allow us to be fellow heirs and members of that same body. We're members of that one body, that one church. Not only do we see that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 3, where he's talking about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Then in verse 4, he says there is one body, letting us know that there's only one church. We understand that clearly. If we can get a name of the church, we'll be home free. Amen. We know that it was a mystery. We know that it was kept secret since the world began. We know that it pertains to all nations for the obedience of faith. We know that God will gather together all and place them in one. We know that the Gentiles will become fellow heirs of the same body or the same church. How will they do that? By obeying the gospel. We know that there is one body, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 4. If there's one body, then there is one church. But if we could find the name of that church, we would be home free. You are still in Ephesians, and you drop down to verse 11 and verse number 12. And the book says this, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Paul is laying a foundation, and he's saying that God put certain individuals in place. Verse number 11, he gave some pastors, some prophets, some evangelists, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why did he do it? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Did we just see the name there? Did not the book tell us that church means body? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Well, if it means that, then in verse number 12, he gave them for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the church of Christ. If body means church, then that's what he's saying. Well, brother, I never saw that before. That's why they call it a mystery. Amen. And how can we understand this? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, whereby we'll understand his knowledge of this when we read. When we read this book called the Bible, we're able to understand the mystery of the church. What is the mystery again? That long ago, before the world began, God kept a secret. I know in this day and age, it's hard to keep a secret. They got something called the internet. Amen. They got something called Facebook. They got all of these things, and all this information gets out. But somehow the Almighty God kept a secret. We may not be able to keep a secret, but God can. And since the foundation of the world, he kept this a secret, that he was going to establish one church. And he would take the Gentiles, and they would become members of that one church. And he kept it a secret. And had the princes of this world known that, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. Because to crucify Jesus means that we're going to establish the church. But if he's not crucified, then we can't have the church. He's got to die in order for us to have the church. And because they crucified him, now we have the church. But if they knew this plan, they never would have crucified Jesus, and we never would have had the church. That's why it was kept secret. But now we know about this mystery. And how did we find out? We simply read the book. Having a relationship with God and trying to figure out how to do it is not hard. We just simply have to read the book. Jesus taught on a third or fourth grade level. We can understand the Bible. Did not Jesus say, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free"? If Jesus says you'll know the truth, then you're going to know it. It is possible for you to read this book and understand it. It is possible for you to understand the truth and to be bold enough to obey the truth. This mystery was kept secret, but now we see that it's open, wide open to all of mankind. The mystery of the church. Now that you know the church exists, now that you know that it's been made known to mankind, now that you know that body means church and there is but one body and that he's taking all and placing them in one, and then you also found out the name. The name is the Church of Christ. Jesus' body wears his name. You know, I have a wife, and can you guess what her last name is? Her last name is Slocum. Why would her last name be Slocum? Well, Ephesians chapter 5, the husband is the head of the wife, just like Christ is the head of the church. The wife wears the husband's name. The church wears Christ's name. Therefore, we call it the Church of Christ. I can only have one wife. If I have another wife, I'm committing adultery. If I can only have one wife and the church is the bride of Christ, then Christ can only have one bride. If he has more than one bride, would he not be committing what we dare to call spiritual adultery? If the rules of marriage apply to me, wouldn't the rules of marriage apply to him as well and the relationship with the church? Now, my wife's first name is Cherie. There may be many other women in the world whose name is Cherie. But when you go, well, you know what? When I go back home to Atlanta, I'm just looking for one Cherie. Amen. I'm just looking for my wife when I go back home. Do you not know that when Christ comes back for the church, he's just looking for that one church? He's just looking for that one that wears his name? You mean God did all of this through the stream of time and brought this mystery here and laid it out before us? And all we have to do is obey it. Yes, that's all we have to do. The mystery of the church is that Christ established one church, and it is for everybody, no matter who you are. And in order to get in that church, everybody has to do the same thing. Well, preacher, I'm excited about it. Just get to the part where you tell me how to get in that church. Well, here it is. In order to get in that church, you need to be able to do this. Number one, you've got to hear the word of God. Why is it that I need to hear the word of God? Well, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. Paul said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You mean when I hear the word of God, it produces faith? Yes, it does. You then take that faith and you begin to believe in God. You believe that he exists. You believe in Jesus the Christ. You believe that he lived, he died, he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. After we have established belief in God and belief in Christ, we move to the next step, and that is repenting of our sins. Paul said it this way in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 30. At the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The command to repent goes out to all men. If you get a chance to look up that word men in the Greek, it comes to us by way of the word anthropos, which means human being. He's not talking about males only. He's commanding all men everywhere to repent. Everybody everywhere has got to do the same thing. We must repent. Well, then what is repentance? Well, repentance starts first in your mind, where you feel godly sorrow. God has been so good, it brings about godly sorrow. You feel sorry about the things that you have done. Then it leads to a change of mind that results in a change of action or lifestyle. Repentance is a turning away from. We'll turn away from that which is wrong and sinful, and we'll come back to Christ Jesus. If you're serving Satan, you need to repent and turn back to Christ Jesus. Well, preacher, I'm not saved at all. Then you're serving Satan. Well, preacher, I don't go to church at all. Okay, you're serving Satan. Well, I'm not out there doing all those violent crimes. Jesus said, if you're not with me, you are against me. We must repent. We must turn away from that which is wrong. And then after repentance takes place, we then have to make the mouth confession. And what is it that we have to confess? Well, in Acts chapter 8, in verse number 37, the Ethiopian eunuch said it this way, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We must make that confession. Do we all have to do that? Yes. Matthew chapter 10, in verse number 32, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will also deny before my Father which is in heaven. That confession has got to be made. Then after we've made that confession, it's time for us to be baptized. And according to the Bible, this is what baptism will do for us. In Acts chapter 22, in verse number 16, Ananias said to Saul that day, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins and calling on the name of the Lord. And Ananias simply told him this, what are you waiting for? I have told you what you need to do to be saved. That's what he's saying to Saul. What are you waiting for, man? Get up. Be baptized. Wash your sins away. Calling on the name of the Lord. That's the information in terms of what we must do. Once you go down, your sins are washed away. You come up with a brand new individual in Christ Jesus. And what do we do from that day forward? Revelation chapter 2. And the latter part of verse 10, Jesus said, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Salvation can be yours tonight. Will this be the night that your whole life changes forever? Will this be the night that you get up and you put the Lord on in baptism? Everything that you need to be saved is ready tonight. The water is ready. We have clothes for you to change in order to be baptized. Everything is ready. The question is, are you ready? Is this the night that you walk out of here being a saved individual? And if you are saved, and maybe you simply stand in need of prayer, we want to encourage you to come as we all together stand and sing the song of invitation. Will you?